I completely randomly saw on Instagram that this guy was having an Instagram meetup. It was for people who liked taking photos and riding bikes, and those are two of my favorite things. It was on a 9 a.m. on a Sunday morning. I saw it, and I was like, I don't know if I want to do this, but I thought about it a little bit, and I was like, you know what? I'm not doing anything. I should just go. And because I went to that, it's funny looking back on things, like just making a tiny decision, how much that can affect your whole path.
And so here we had this dilemma, this fact.
I've been almost a decade researching this subject.
Every aspect of your metabolic health improves.
From the Hint offices in San Francisco, I'm Kara Golden, founder and CEO of Hint. You may have tried Hint water before, but this is my podcast. Each week, we talk to some of the most creative entrepreneurs, from world-touring pop stars like Jay Sean to the people behind favorite Instagram accounts, including So Yummy, New York City, and even YouTubers like Sarah Dici. So the million-dollar question, what does it really take to be unstoppable? Let's find out. New York City-based lifestyle and portrait photographer Jeremy Cohn is here with me today to talk about the bravery and creativity, the challenges of being an entrepreneur, the importance of a routine, and how he started working with major brands like Beats by Dre, BMW, Everlane, Jameson, and the New York Knicks. You're going to love his story. Now sit back and enjoy the show. Hey, everybody. I'm super excited today to welcome one of my favorite photographers, Jeremy Cohn. And here we are talking about everything creative. We're so excited to have Jeremy. He's our, as we were just chatting about, he is our first photographer and really, really excited to have him here today. So thanks so much, Jeremy,
yes,
for coming over.
Thank you for having me, Kara. I'm honored to be the first photographer and excited to do this podcast.
Very, very excited. So today on Unstoppable, we're going to chat with Jeremy for a few minutes about just being creative and just how, you know, whenever I think about people who are creative in general, I feel like, you know, it's something that, you know, goes against the grain for sort of traditional education and schooling, and takes a lot of bravery to just jump outside of maybe what even your friends are doing or maybe what your parents thought that you should be doing. So anyway, I really admire that entrepreneurial spirit that
Thank you. You've shown,
and obviously you've got a talent for doing what you're doing. So tell me a little bit about how you got started.
So speaking of that, actually, I got the creative bug from my mom.
Oh, awesome.
One of the most creative people I know. She started off as a professional storyteller, telling Jewish folktale to synagogues and middle schools and high schools growing up. And her way of storytelling was actually interactive storytelling. So she kind of created this genre of storytelling where she would bring up puppets and different costumes and have the kids like act out these stories. And at the time I didn't think of it, but that's totally shaped a lot of my art today, just seeing how she works and how she tells stories, because a lot of my photography, I consider storytelling. And as for friends, so growing up, I guess you would consider all my friends growing up were very much into sports, including myself. Football, basketball, ping pong, loved it all. But deep down, I'm more of an artist, and my friends were never really into art, so I never got the chance to try it out until one day I did. And
like, how old were you at that?
So the exact moment was my family went on a family vacation to Yellowstone National Park.
Oh, wow.
And my dad was always into gadgets. So he recently went to some convention and got this little point-and-shoot digital camera. He was really excited to bring it on this trip and take some snaps of nature with it. Yeah, he's like really into gadgets, all the way from like reading all about airplanes to Japanese toilets. He's obsessed he went on a trip to Japan one time and saw these Japanese toilets with heated seats and bidets installed in them. And yeah, and he had to get one. And I'm a huge advocate for bidets now. That's another conversation.
Yeah, but, that's awesome.
So, yeah, he brought this camera on this trip, and I have a younger sister, just a grade below me, and she borrowed it from my dad and started taking photos of just nature and flowers and just different animals we saw. And being so close in age, we're naturally really competitive. And I saw the photos she was taking, and I thought they were pretty cool.
So it was her first that was the photographer.
She was first. I credit her. And yes. I wanted to be better than her. So when she wasn't shooting, I would take the camera, take some photos, mess around with the couple of features this camera had. And that's when I had the first feeling. Just like I took a photo and just had this feeling inside of me that it felt right to take photos. I knew right away. I just really enjoyed it. So I think later that year, when it was my birthday, I asked my parents for a camera. It was my 16th birthday. I got my first camera then and started taking photos mostly on weekend adventures with my friends, where we'd go to abandoned buildings or did some hikes, and I'd kind of document just behind the scenes and make Facebook albums with the photos.
How often have you thought about learning a new language only to be stopped by that memory of yours from the last time you tried to learn a language when it didn't go so well? Okay, maybe it wasn't a language that you were interested in learning, or perhaps all those poorly written textbooks in your sixth grade class weren't that well written after all. I have a great tip for you. It's called Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program around, available on desktop or app. No matter where you choose to learn it or what platform you choose to learn on, Rosetta Stone works, and it truly immerses you in the language you choose to learn, quicker and easier than you ever imagined to. Maybe you're getting ready to travel abroad this summer and you want to learn a bit of Portuguese, let's say, before your trip. Rosetta Stone can help. I know this firsthand, as I did just this before traveling to Portugal last year. I learned Portuguese through Rosetta Stone, and by doing so, I not only got a better grasp of the spoken language of Portugal, but it got me very excited for the trip itself before I went. They even have a true accent feature that gives you feedback on your pronunciation as you are learning too. They've got you covered. Rosetta Stone's trusted experts are the real deal. They've been helping people just like you for over 30 years, helping millions of people to learn Spanish, French, Italian, German, Korean, Chinese, Japanese, Dutch, Arabic, Polish, and my favorite, Portuguese. The lessons are 5 to 10 minutes long and include practical exercises so that you can pick up the language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. No English translations either, so you really learn to speak, listen, and think in the language you are focused on, helping you get the long-term retention you are looking for. And who wouldn't want that? Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, the Kara Golden Show listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off, unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today today. Thinking about what's for dinner, but you haven't had a minute to even think about it before now? Well, let's not make that mistake again. I have a tip for you. Factor. Stress-free, delicious, ready-to-eat meals, just perfect for spring and summer yumminess. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes or less. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options: keto, vegan, veggie, or calorie smart. Factor has you covered. Discover more than 60 add-ons every week too, like breakfast and on-the-go lunch choices. Snacks and beverages now too. Stay fueled and feel good all day long with whatever they are creating over at Factor for you. And the best part? Each meal is ready to eat in just 2 minutes or less. And who wouldn't want that? Factor is your solution for fast premium meals without the need for cooking. Get started today and fuel up for your spring and summer goals. What are you waiting for? Head to factormeals.com/golden50 and use code golden50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code GOLDEN50 at factormeals.com/GOLDEN50 to get 50% off plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. That's code GOLDEN50 at factormeals.com/GOLDEN50 to get 50% off plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
And that's where it slowly got started.
That's awesome. Yeah. Well, you know, clearly, I think the first place that I saw you was just on Instagram. And obviously, your profile just really highlights, you know, uniqueness. And I think that that really it is such an amazing place to sort of share just exactly what you're thinking about, too. And I feel like that that's what's so cool just about Instagram in general, that you know, can really not just see where people are going and where they've been, but I think that your photos really share a lot of your thoughts. I mean, you mentioned like abandoned buildings, for example, like that kind of stuff. It really goes back to, you know, as you said, what your mom's taught you around storytelling and how do you engage people in a way that really allows them to let them know a little bit about you and sort of what you're thinking, which is super, super cool. So how have people found you? I mean, like, do you think Instagram has just been, you know, instrumental in finding you and your business?
Absolutely. Yeah, extremely grateful for Instagram, which has allowed me to, most importantly, to find a community of like-minded creatives, mostly photographers, but also all types of creatives. So I joined Instagram right when it started, actually. I was a freshman in college when Instagram came out in September 2010, I think it was. And then I think a month later, my roommate, who was all in the know, told me about this app to download. And I downloaded it, and then I think I took one photo and posted it and then kind of forgot about it for 2 years.
Wow.
And then it was 3 years later, 2013, I just completely randomly saw on Instagram that this guy was having an Instagram meetup. It was for people who liked taking photos and riding bikes, and those are two of my favorite things. So it was on a 9 a.m. on a Sunday morning. I saw it, and I was like, I don't know if I want to do this, but I thought about it a little bit, and I was like, you know what? I'm not doing anything. I should just go. And because I went to that, it's funny looking back on things, like, just making a tiny decision, how much that can affect your whole path. And from that day, I went just from this Instagram meetup, I met so many people that I'm still friends with today, as well as, you know, creative partners. So
that's awesome. So Instagram meetups, like, how do you, you know, I hear about those a lot. Like, how do people reach out to you, or do you see like a posting if somebody is, you know, listening to this podcast and they're thinking, well, how do I actually, you know, find these Instagram meetups in my city? Or
right. So Instagram meetups are a little different now. They're still happening and they're still great. But this was when people were first signing up for Instagram, and it was very new. So I found that Instagram meetup just by following this guy, Tim Cow, who I loved his photos. He took photos of bikes around the city, combined with the architecture he saw. He would just like place his bike, and it would be a very simple photo of just the lines of a building lining up to meet his bike. And then he just posted about this meetup that where we would bike from, I think we all met in Manhattan and took a train to New Jersey and like biked around New Jersey and back. And that just sounded really interesting to me. But the way you can find it is follow people and follow photographers or people you look up to, and hopefully they'll post a meet. And if they do, it might be a little nervous to go, but you should totally go. People are a lot friendlier than you might expect.
So I think what you touched on too for me is I always hear people, no matter what industry, like there's two types of people. There's people that will actually say, you know, I can do better, and I want to, you know, like whether they're calling out, there's certain people that I look up to, or, you know, I wish I had as a mentor, or, you know, I admire something that they're doing. And then there's other people who are, you know, saying like, oh, I don't need to listen to anybody. I'm the best and I'm just going to, you know, do my thing and no one's going to be better than me.
Right.
And I always think that, you know, the people that, you know, really believe that they're the type that can always learn, right? Whether it's hiring people that are, you know, smarter than you or know more than you do about something, that the more time you can spend around those people, you know, I think it's really, it says something about you, not only as an artist, but as an individual, that you want to, you know, go learn from people, which I'm constantly telling people, like, that's an important aspect.
Oh, yeah. We're all, I mean, I always consider myself a student. Like, I feel like I'm learning more now than when I was in school, just through people and just experiences. Yeah, it's important to just all, like, just by talking to people and learning their stories. I do a project called Today I Photographed, where I take a portrait of someone every day. Well, I was doing it every day for 614 days in a row.
Oh,
and
that's
recently stopped doing it every day, but I still take portraits of people, just not as common, and share their story. It's just a little bit more high production and not as frequent now. Yeah, and just through approaching strangers on the street and just listening to them, I'm surprised to find out how much I could learn from someone else's perspective on life.
That's awesome. That's really, really, that's super cool. So freelance work. Mm-hmm. So that's another, you know, aspect. I know that there's a lot of Instagram or I should say influencers that are probably at these meetups as well that are really trying to figure out, how do I actually go and make a living out of this, whether they're photographers or doing, you know, other thing that is freelance work, writers, whatever. You know, what kind of roadblocks do you think exist for people who are really trying to go out there and be the freelancer, but then also, what challenges do you see that are out there?
For me, I think the most overlooked challenge is time management. I found over the last couple of years, it's so important. As a freelancer, you're your own boss, which is a blessing and a curse. Like, it's so easy, if you allow it to be, to fall behind.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very easy to also get comfortable. You never want to get comfortable. Always keep challenging yourself and setting goals and pushing forward, as well as just balancing everything in life. So I think the most important thing to do is, for me, it's like have my routine, like wake up early, get my exercise in so my mind is strong. And
I'm like that too. I have to get it in the morning.
Yeah, I have to do it in the morning. Get my morning routine down, and then I'm ready to work. So keep up with all the emails and all the types of communication through all the different apps, Facebook Messenger, text, email, Instagram DM. And I shoot very often, so almost every day. So I try not to, I don't like to let photo, like, work fall behind. So I have to constantly just keep it grinding, keep it moving. If I forget about something or don't edit some photos that I like taking one day, it's just going to keep falling back and I may not ever see them.
I know that you're working with some very, very large brands and print and social and billboards, websites, social media campaigns. First of all, how did that happen? I mean, how did they find you? And I mean, do you have an agent? Did they just find you on Instagram? And, you know, what I think that when I look at your career, it's very homegrown, right? Where you did it out of a passion and now you're starting to be hired by these large brands, you know, corporate, you know, stay in the lines, you know, is that challenging for you, you know, as an individual? And what advice would you give to other people who are looking at working in that way?
Yeah, so it all started when, well, first of all, the most helpful thing is being passionate about it. I genuinely love photography. So that alone just makes this all easier and just makes it easy to do this. If you love it, you can make it happen. So I got started when I was a junior in college. Reality started to kick in and I knew I had to start making a plan for once I got out of college. At that point, I wasn't even sure if I wanted to be a photographer. I just knew I wanted to work somewhere in the creative industry. And I looked up to a lot of these photographers in New York. Being in New York is was a blessing because it's...
Did you go to school in New York?
I went to school in New York at a school of visual arts.
Okay.
So, yeah, I had to take advantage of being in New York. It's like a lot of people consider it the photo capital of the world in the sense that the best photographers live here and you could get the most work you could possibly get is here. There's a lot of opportunity. So I looked up to a lot of photographers, and a lot of them I found were based in New York. So I sent the equivalent of a cold call. I sent emails instead because...
Smart.
Yeah, I think it's better on both ends. So I would send emails just saying how much I would like these photographers' work and what I enjoyed about it, and that I was a student at SVA and I wanted to learn, and if they ever needed an assistant, I'm here.
So did you send like 5 emails out, or did you send
it was between 50 and 75, I'd
That's
say.
That's awesome.
It's all different types of photographers, and I...
And a lot of people probably didn't respond,
Oh,
right?
Yeah. Yeah. It was only a few that responded, and those few, I'd say I learned more from these photographers than I did in my 4 years of school. Just being on set, like, it's unteachable stuff in class, I think. It's just... I saw how everything went down with photo shoots from different photographers' perspectives. And all these photographers that I worked with worked differently. So from just seeing how they did things, I naturally found out how I like to work. Yes, yeah, some photographers did a lot crazier things than other ones. And yeah, so from that, I not only did I learn, but I built the confidence to be able to go out in the field and photograph. And so I did that until I graduated school a couple years later. And then with all the free time I had, so I was still assisting photographers, but then with the free time that I had that I wasn't going to school, I decided I was ready to make my own photo series, which I think is really important if you're a freelance photographer or artist in general. Anyone can take a good photo nowadays. If you're in the right place at the right time, you could get a really good photo. But I think not everyone can piece together a series of photos telling a story. Their perspective. So that's some advice I got at one point, and it kind of stuck with me. And so at that point, that summer, right after I graduated, I started working on some personal projects. And looking back on them, they're so silly and so much different than my work now. So the projects I worked on... At that point, my work was a lot more quirkier, more Instagram-y, mm-hmm. Just quirky. So my first project was called Pizza Portraits. The way my projects were viewed is I slapped a hashtag on them. So if someone wanted to see the whole series, they could just click on the hashtag on Instagram and they'd see the whole series until someone trolled it and put their own photos in there. So my first one was Pizza Portraits, which was spelled #PIZZA. And then portraits, except with a Z at the end. So it was a unique hashtag because pizza portraits, there were a couple of posts. There were like 6 posts of people eating pizza under that. So I wanted to make it unique. So it was only my photos. And this series was literally just, I had this pizza costume from Halloween a couple years ago and I loved pizza. It's a fun object to work with. So I had people wear this pizza costume at different places and took portraits of them, and it was just very, very silly stuff.
But
I got
pizza costume.
In the pizza costume, yeah. And then the next project I did after that was called Emoji Portraits, #EmojiPortraits. And this was more of an interactive project, which I didn't plan from the beginning, but where I made this hashtag, and then people started creating their own work to add to this project, which I thought was pretty cool. So, and this was when I just took portraits and I used Photoshop to incorporate emojis in the portraits. And so from there is when I got the attention of this agency called 24/7 Laundry Service. Mm-hmm. They were looking for creators. They were doing a project with Beats by Dre. It was this video series that they were working with different creators to make video, like short 15-second videos of filming a camera going from ear to ear and looping 3 times in 3 different settings. And I guess through those projects, they thought I could have an interesting idea for this video, even though I never did video at the time. And this was my first ever photo gig. with Beats by Dre, which I was super nervous.
That's huge.
Yeah, which I was super nervous with at the time. I couldn't really believe it. And I almost said no because I had a trip planned to go snowboarding with my friends to Utah, and it was during this campaign. But then I knew I couldn't say no. This was too big of an opportunity. It was the easy thing to say no. I almost wanted to say no because I was scared to do it, even though it was an amazing opportunity. And I said yes, and I had to do it in Utah, like an unfamiliar place for me at the time. And so I just did this video of, I used a GoPro, and I really liked it, they really liked it, and from there we started working together.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
So obviously Beats by Dre, super cool. Like how, if you're a, you know, CMO or brand manager that is like thinking about how do I actually make my brand cool, I always think that, you know, having sort of a social media angle and really having, you know, kind of an influencer strategy is something that a lot of people are thinking about today. I mean, how do you think brands, like what types of brands do influencers and creators really want to work with? And I think it also speaks to what's sort of the, at what point just is it just not making sense for, are there brands, for example, that you look at that are, you know, just too in the rails that you wouldn't really be interested in doing something? Obviously, I don't think Beats by Dre is one of those, because yeah. I think that they've been out of the box, really, you know, grown to be a brand that takes risks, for example. But I'd love to hear sort of your perspective on it too.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I'd love to work with brands that I love myself. Then I think it's a win-win for both sides. I think it's always good to work with a brand that you actually love. So, I mean, one brand that I would love to work with that I never have would be...
Besides Hint, right?
Besides Hint. Also, by the way, I do love Hint, so I'm... Yay! I mean, naturally, I wanted
That's
to do
awesome.
This podcast.
That's
so
great.
Yeah, don't like sugar. I mean, sorry. I'm addicted to sugar, like mostly chocolate, so for me, it's like easy to not have sugar on the daily via beverages. It's just easier to drink
then
water
you can have
or
your
seltzer.
Chocolate.
So it's so nice to have something with a little flavor that doesn't even have any sugar or anything.
That's what we do.
Yeah. So, and yeah, living in Brooklyn, going to the deli, it's amazing how I don't even know if amazing is the word. It's awful how you go to the drink section and every drink in the section is packed with sugar. Packed, like 40 grams of sugar.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Every drink, like even the juices that are advertised as healthy have all the sugar in it. So I think it's great that we have an option now that is water, but is also has some flavor and tastes delicious and is healthy for you. So, and also has a good podcast now.
I love it. Yeah.
I mean, right now, one of my dream clients would be Nike, just based on knowing a brand story, I think is very helpful. Like right now I'm reading this book called Shoe Dog, and mm-hmm. it's the memoir of Phil Knight. You've read it?
Great book.
Yeah. So just reading this book and learning this guy's story just makes me want to work with this brand or be a part of it, help tell its story. And yeah, I also learn about a lot of different brand story through this other podcast it's an NPR podcast called How I Built This.
Mm-hmm.
And just, I get emotional listening to some of these stories. Just listening how people get started from the ground up, creating this huge business that we're so familiar with today, and just seeing all the obstacles that they overcome. It's incredible. Like, for example, Patagonia was one of the ones. Just amazing story, would love to work with, as well as like Whole Foods. And I don't know if I'd ever like work on a photo shoot with Whole Foods. I can't really see that, but it would be cool too.
But these are all like disruptors, right?
These are all
people that are, you know, really doing something that is purposeful, that which has a backstory to your point, and you can really, you know, tell that story.
Right, purposeful, and also just taking a huge risk and just flipping the whole script and just making something so obvious. Oh yeah, Airbnb is the one I'm thinking of.
Yeah,
it's just such a he failed so many times and. But now it's something that I use today and I love using.
It makes it
so much easier for traveling, and also it connects people. I love when people create something that brings people closer together.
Yeah. Well, I think photos yeah, connect people too.
Oh
right?
Yeah, that's why I love photography. I'm mainly a people person, and I kind of just use photography as a tool just to meet more people and just connect with more people. So
that's awesome. Very, very cool. Yeah. So what? So besides like the brands that you're really hoping to work with, I mean, what do you think the next 5 years are like? Obviously, you're taking off this afternoon to do a big photo shoot in Europe. You were just sharing you're gonna go explore. I think you should go take the pictures of people every single day, and that'd be really fun in all these different cities.
I'm really excited for that.
And I'm very, very excited to watch that and follow what's going on with your travels. But what else? What do you think the world is like for Jeremy over the next, I don't know, 3 to 5 years?
I mean, I don't think of this too much, but as long as I don't get too comfortable and keep pushing myself to try new things, whether it's not even necessarily photography, like right now I'm actually trying to get more into video, since the gear I have, my camera, they already have they're totally capable of making amazing videos, and I'm not that confident in it, but I know I want to do it. So lately I've been going out of my comfort zone and making more work in motion. So who knows, maybe in 3 years I might be more of a videographer more than a photographer, or maybe I'll be doing something totally different. Like last night I couldn't sleep that well, so I started writing lyrics to a song.
That's awesome.
just kept my brain a little fresh, trying something different. Maybe I'll record it. I don't know. We'll see.
That's awesome. But I think that the idea of you just being open and to what's going to come and storytelling, I think, is really the core aspect of that.
Totally.
Which is,
that's the one factor that I don't want to change, because I know storytelling is something I genuinely love to do, and I like to think I'm really good at. So no matter what medium I'm telling stories with, that's what I want to be doing.
That's awesome.
Maybe on a bigger scale in 3 to 5 years.
That's super great. Well, I'm excited to keep following you and see where Jeremy Cohen will take us. So what's the best way for people to find you and see what you're up to?
So you could find me on Instagram at Jerm Cohen. That's J-E-R-M-C-O-H-E-N. And on YouTube, I think it's youtube.com/Jerm Cohen. So I just started making videos. I have 2 videos so far. More are coming. They're not as good as my photography, but I just got to keep getting better. That's what it's
awesome.
About.
Very, very cool. Yeah. Well, thanks so much, Jeremy.
Thank you for
really
having
appreciate
me.
It.
Yeah.
All right.
Thanks so much.
You can learn more about Jeremy Cohen and see the incredible work he's doing at jermcohen.com. That's JERMCOHEN.com, and on Instagram at the same. I love giving away things that are dear to my heart, like Hint Water. So for the next 3 months, I'll be choosing 5 lucky listeners each episode to win a year's supply. To enter, all you have to do is go to KaraGolden.com/iTunes and leave a review. That's it. And if I see you tweeting it out and tagging me at Kara Golden, you will increase your chances of being picked. And as a special thank you to all of our Unstoppable subscribers, for a limited time only, you can enjoy a special hint offer at drinkhint.com/unstoppable. If you like what you heard, please help spread the word and leave us a review. You can also follow along with me on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and LinkedIn at Kara Golden. Do you have a question for me or want to nominate an innovator to spotlight? Please talk to me at Kara Golden on Twitter. Thanks so much for listening. Until next time, be unstoppable. Unstoppable. Unstoppable.